you know, obviously we got to look out for each other. No one else is really going to. And I don't want to say that to disparage or separate any other races. It's definitely like, it's not about that. But this is an industry where we don't have any leadership and we've been the most persecuted and locked up for this. So this is an industry that does belong to Black and Brown. I mean, a lot of ethnicities have their industries, you know, and we just don't. And we help build this country. So, you know, we have a lot of Asians and that have the C-stores and garment industry. And we have, you know, our Jewish folks doing show business, and banking, and Italians with construction and waste management. That's great. I love all you guys. We got nothing. You know, we don't. We really, really don't have anything that we can actually say this is ours. And quite frankly, it's more apropos because, again, we are the most persecuted and locked up for this in history. And it's just the right thing.
Yeah. I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a milli every week. I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a billy every week. I wanna be a billionaire. Billionaire, I wanna be a billionaire. Billionaire, I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a billy every week. I ain't gonna make a friend.
Ladies and gentlemen, how you doing? Welcome to another episode of Sleep is for Billionaires, the podcast. I am your host, Johnny Vegas. Now today, I got a very special guest on my show. Ladies and gentlemen, you're in for a treat, so take some notes. This man is the CEO of the cannabis brand Pineapple Express. Ladies and gentlemen, Sean Crater.
Thanks, how you doing, that King? That was a great introduction, man. I feel like I'm somebody.
You are somebody, man. That's what you're doing. Well, how you doing today, King? You know, I know that question goes a long way considering everything that's going on in this world. So how are you doing?
I'm doing great overall, but for sure, shout out to everyone that's going through what they're going through, like Ukraine, all my friends over there, people I know. So I'm with you for sure.
Oh, man, yeah. Prayers to you guys for sure. Man, you were in the military, right?
I was in the Marine Corps, yeah. So I'm about to dust off my boots and just go over and do something.
Hey, well, prayers
once a Marine, always Marine, so I still got it, man. I served during 9/11, so.
Oh, man.
If we got to get it, we got to get it.
Well, thank you for your service, man. For real, it takes the hardcore guys to go up in there and fight for us, man. So I appreciate you, man. Straight up, man. But yeah, man, you know, I want to talk about your success in the cannabis industry, brother. You know, it takes a lot to get to where you are. And, you know, I'm just curious to see where this entrepreneurial mindset came from, man. So I'd love to talk about the beginnings, where you came from and how you kind of got to where you are, man. So let's start from the beginning. Where you from, brother?
Connecticut. From Connecticut.
Okay. East Coast. Yeah, okay.
Northeast Coast for sure.
For sure. From the Bronx.
Oh, yeah. I can hear it in your voice. Sometimes, you know, when you say Bronx or Brooklyn, people are like, oh, so, you know, yeah. I respect the boroughs.
Bro. That's what's up.
But no, I'm from Connecticut. Born in the 80s, single Black mom in a not so progressive, state back then. Mm-hmm. So, it was basically from her. Like, her grind, I saw it as a kid. Like, young, I couldn't speak or nothing, but I saw, like, everything, you know, and she, she worked as a hairdresser and I had to follow her everywhere and just to get herself to get to nursing school and stuff like that. So that's really where it started. My grandparents as well, especially my grandparents and my pops, my great grandfather, just showed me what work ethic was about. And so I just got hungry to succeed very early on. So it's funny because my mom will say, you know, I was off the bottle, like semi-solid foods. I was walking. I was potty trained in 8.5 months.
Wow.
So she's like, you were just like, get out the way and whatever. And she's like, you know, I just basically sit out of your way. And I just, you know, kept doing that. And I don't know. I honestly don't know where it came from. I don't know inside where it came from because I've always been trying to get better and better from an early mindset. Got my first job at 11 years old and I haven't been unemployed since.
Wow. Congratulations, man. That's really amazing, man. Yeah, I can attest to that as well. You know, watching my mother grind as a single mom, two kids, you know, figuring it out on my own. I mean, we didn't want for anything. I'm like, how the hell are you doing this?
Same stuff, man. I said, you know, I may not always have what I wanted, but I definitely had what I needed.
Mm.
You know, so she definitely came through, you know, for that. And, you know, you can attest to this as single mom, you know, I didn't, you know, it wasn't like she came to my football games and stuff like that, you know, but I understand afterwards, it's like, that's a hard job, man. No days off, can't get sick.
Right.
You know, can't say, I don't want to be a mom today, you know,
right.
Half a day, none of that. So, you know, I respected a lot of that stuff, like, you know, after probably sitting those first 2 nights of boot camp.
Nice.
What the hell am I doing here, you know? I want to go home.
Right. But, Bobby.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like that for sure. Yeah. It was like that for sure. Anybody tells you different.
Right, right. So when did the idea to start Cannabis Express, you know, pop into your mind?
So it's still a shock to a lot of people that know me that I'm even in cannabis. Some people are like, do you even smoke? You know, this was an opportunity that was afforded to me by the founder of Pineapple. So this is going back, I think, beginning of 2018, because I got brought in. But almost 4 years ago, to replace the other CEO who didn't have the company at its best heart, I would say.
Got it.
So I was brought in to essentially clean house at the upper management level, and I didn't clean everyone out. I kept some folks, but we just kind of like got back to the grassroots of what this company is, figure out what our mission is. He brought me on because of not only military leadership, I also teach leadership, Barry University in Miami, shout out to Barry. Got 4 master's degrees as well, and one of those is is an organizational corporate governance and leadership. So
awesome.
He was like, you got all these boxes checked. And also he said, you know, we don't have really anyone leading cannabis companies that are black and brown.
Oh.
He's like, so this is another thing, you know, that I think you would bring to the table, not just bridging black, but also a Puerto Rican as well. Shout out PR.
Hey, Dominicana.
So yeah, I knew it, man. I knew it. I never like to just say it, but I know. I already know. Shout out to Vlad, too, from Happy Monkey out there. Dominican as well.
Hey.
Brother, peace. So I just, he said, you know, you can bring black and brown together. And then you have a presence and you have a, you know, the look.
Yeah.
So yeah. At first it said no. Actually 3 times it said no.
Wow. What made you change your mind?
Because of what we can do with this industry. And I said no originally because I live in Miami, I live in Florida. I did not want to move to California. No disrespect to Californians. But you know, I was just happy doing that and skipping across to Europe a lot. I ran a fitness business and everything like that. So I didn't necessarily want to end all those entrepreneurial adventures that I had going on in Miami. Also, I was taught in 2 schools. I was a broker, real estate. Mm-hmm. I had a hostel. So I was just like in acting, modeling. It was in everything.
Yeah.
So, but at the same time, I'm like, he brought up a good point. He's like, well, why the hell you got those degrees?
Right. Like,
you know, aside from teaching, I don't need it for nothing that I'm doing. I was like, you know, that part, the opportunity to bring a publicly traded cannabis corporation and head that up and bring it on this side of federal decriminalization to the legal side. Mm. After that gets done, you know, it should be done in about 4 years. Mm. Not only that, I have political aspirations. So, you know, typically not going the traditional political route, a lot of CEOs and business owners usually branch into, you know, from there. So I figured this could be an all-encompassing type of platform to, you know, build Pineapple, get it to where we got to go. And we've done it a lot faster than I thought, to be quite frank with you. That's through a lot of different relationships that help with this. But we're blasting off, man. It's we're starting to develop franchise models across the country.
Okay.
People want Pineapple. People may have the licensing, they may have even the funding, but don't necessarily have a brand for dispensaries. And with us having the probably, I would say, I mean, there's Cookies too. Shout out to Cookies.
Mm-hmm. Burn up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Get well, brother. Mm-hmm. We're praying for you.
Yeah.
Shout out to Steve LaBelle as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think in terms of like, aside from Cookies, we have the most collective celebrity cachet. Yeah, you know, being a cannabis company on the globe, I can confidently kind of say that. And it's because of that, we went really fast. We grew up, we blew up very fast. People like all of a sudden like, what is this Pineapple? I'm like, yeah, I've been running this thing since 18.
Yeah.
But it was really, as we got our foothold and really figured out what we want to do, how do we want to tackle the cannabis market. We started that with delivery. That's what we started. So I think we're number three right now in all of LA, greater Los Angeles area. So we were starting at 19 and basically deliver a lot. And then when 2020 hit, the pandemic, we just blew up. Yeah. Because we get to you in as little as 15 minutes, no more than 2 hours in most cases. We we take credit and debit on delivery, and there's no delivery fees. It's like, boom, no frills, straight up, like Pathmark, remember?
Yeah, Pathmark.
No frills.
Pathmark, Kmart, all
yeah,
that. Yeah,
absolutely. So, you know, we just want to, like, no-nonsense approach to, you know, delivering cannabis to folks at home, especially during the pandemic. And then that got blown up. TMZ picked it up twice in a month and, you know, and all that stuff. And that was mainly because we had a sweepstakes at 420 where every Friday, the late Tiny Lister, my brother, Miss Udo Debo, for those that don't know, was my spokesperson and also a very dear friend, left me the godfather to his daughter, Faith. He just went ham. He went ham. He's like, you should have me ride a bike and deliver cannabis during the quarantine.
Oh, wow.
And we were in Vegas in a hotel room. We're just like sitting there just talking about crap because Tiny and I, if we got to go to a party, we'll go. But as soon as we get there, like, what's the exit strategy? How can we get out of here? I'm an extremely introverted person, extremely introverted position. So,
yeah.
And he's the same way. So usually we would just like ditch a party and we just go in the room and just talk all night. You know what I mean? Like, I went to sleep early. We just talked all night.
Yeah.
So at night he was saying, you should let me deliver cannabis or anything. I'm like, man, get out of here. Like, I mean, that's not even legal. You know, I'm like, and that's just crazy. But we found a way compliantly to do it. We did like a reenactment. So you have your actual legal delivery and then you have him come up and deliver like swag.
Yeah.
Or whatever
yeah.
in the bag. Kind of like a publisher's clearing house. They kind of knew it already. They won and they just, you know,
but reenacted the situation.
Yeah, exactly. And it went well, man. It blew up. It got a lot of eyes on us. And, you know, we just kind of skyrocketed, you know, from there.
Hell yeah, man. Well, that's amazing, man. So what other like marketing strategy you feel you adopted that kind of took you to this level? Because I know utilizing Tiny, I mean, that was big within itself, but I'm sure you had more attached to that or beyond that that brought you to this level, correct?
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, Tiny was introduced to me by Curtis Jones. Shout out to Curtis, Kurt Boogie. He's one of the original talent scouts on Soul Train.
Okay.
So he hit me and said, this was after we had a, still the one and only, the first ever cannabis-friendly consumption event at Beverly Hills Soft Hotel, two-tier pool deck. We had that, it was a very successful event. Shout out to Alvaro Guzman who put that on too, and just like said, you need to do this. And it really did help because I met Curtis through there. I was away on business, I think in New York. And he called me, he's like, hey, when are you coming back to Miami? Tiny Lister, you know, I think you'd be a great spokesperson for your company. Right. And I didn't even know Curtis that much. So I'm like, why, how? I'm a fan, like, you know, I go back to Zeus days back in the WWF. I go back to those days and I was like, you know, how can he be good for cannabis? Does he even smoke or anything? Right. He's like, no, I don't think he drinks either. I'm like,
How does this work?
So he's like, man, just take the meeting or whatever. So I literally came off the plane, went right to the office, and we just signed a contract that night. It was like such a chemistry we had right away.
That's awesome.
Right away. And it's true. Like, even the last year, you know, his last year in 2020, he only had 3 coronas on 3 separate occasions. You know what I mean? Like, that's how much the guy didn't, you know, mess with anything. And a lot of it was too because of this, how he grew up. But
right.
So yeah, from there, he said, you know, you have all these things. I just got to put you in front of certain people and get the hell out of the way. That's literally what he said, because he's like, you check all these boxes. You know, I feel like we got a champion here.
Right.
And yeah, so I think he introduced me to Flavor Flav. I think the next person he introduced me to was Big Person. Shout out to Big Person. And he's like, if I put you in front of these different people and they all have their different, they're just going to take you under the front with it. So, and that's what happened.
Yeah.
So I met Percy and we hit it off like right away. And then from there, he really opened the floodgates. You know?
He's connected.
He's
the guy.
Yeah, he is, man.
That's awesome, man. Now, you mentioned something that stood out. You said you're an introverted person in the extroverted position. So how does that work? I mean, are you going crazy on a daily basis every time you got to meet somebody? Like, how does that work?
I'm good at this stuff, but it's more effort for me than something. Mm. So, Barbara knows this as well. Shout out to Barbara, my publicist.
Hey.
She knows as soon as it goes from like, can we kind of like, okay. I think one night we were at some place and I'm on my phone. I think it was like the night we were Ray J and Princess Love. I'm on the couch, like just kind of like not standoffish, but I'm just like waiting for her to tell me I can go. So, like, can I leave that? No, you gotta meet. You gotta meet one more person. I'm like, okay, fine. I just sit down. Blah, blah, blah. And then as soon as she's like, "Oh, we're leaving," I'm like, "Valet," you know. So, yeah, man, I do this for this. Literally, this is, and that's honestly the only reason why I'm even in California. Other than that, this is my life. I don't have a goldfish. I don't have a girlfriend. None of that stuff. This is strictly about this because it warrants that much attention. And you're pulled in so many different directions. And it's funny because before taking over this role, I always had political aspirations. So now in this role, I'm like, I really am good at this stuff because being a CEO is basically being a politician. You gotta try to please everybody, but every decision I make is gonna make some people happy, it's gonna make some people not so happy. So it's finding those, you know, those in-betweens where, okay, well, the less fallout with this decision, let me do this, and then I'll take care of these people. You know what I mean? Right. And but it's for the greater good of the company or the employees, especially overall. So I gotta do that stuff. But yeah, man, I if I don't have nothing after the office, beeline it right home.
Right
home. On the couch. Whatever.
That was bringing me to my next question. Like, what do you do to unwind? I mean, it sounds like you're all over the place. You know, you got to run the company. There's no days off. I mean, what do you do to unwind other than Netflix?
Honestly, video games.
Okay.
But like more like the like chess and strategic games or something like that. Big fan of Call of Duty. That's no secret.
Yeah, right.
But I like being tested just on a different level. So I don't like something or watching something that's so mind-numbing, but I like being like still, I need my brain to keep working just on a different way, a different way.
Right.
If I'm not there dealing with the SEC or whatever this and the other, if I get home and trying to figure out how to beat this kid that's kicking my ass in chess. Kids are, hey man, they're ruthless.
They're advancing fast.
They are ruthless, man. I got beat down and maddened by a kid who asked me to quit, you know? And yeah, it was like,
oh, you got the headset on. Yeah, okay.
So it was like,
it's crazy.
It was like 51 or nothing. Yeah. You know? And it was like the fourth point. And he's like, why don't you quit? And I was like, I'm not gonna quit. I'm gonna leave it all in this virtual field and walk out of here. Like, you know, I'm not gonna just quit, bro. I'm like, no. So, and then he's like, well, I'll let you out without the loss. I'm like, no, I'm gonna take the L.
Right.
I'm gonna take the L because that'll make me come back stronger. And then the kid, I was trying to at least score like a field goal or something so I wouldn't get dimed out. But he blocked the field goal, ran it back for a touchdown, game over. And he's like, the last thing he said was, you lose, and ended the communication. And I'm just like, right, my house, you know? Like, where'd this kid come from?
Trying to find
his gamer tag or stuff.
Like, Googling him.
Couldn't find him, man. But but no, that's, I have a horse.
Okay.
Too. So that's what I really do online. Honestly, I have a horse I keep over in Sunland, Tehonga, named her after my great grandmother Vera. I keep it with Lamont Clayton, who is like Jamie Foxx's right hand. You know, they're actually out in Louisiana right now shooting. So I ride with those guys. It's a sense of family too. The ranch is dope. You know, it does rides, does lessons, but I end up buying a horse. And not being able to have a dog, because my schedule, I'm on like, you know, 4 planes a month and stuff like that. Having a horse where they take care of it and everything like that, and I can come up every weekend. I just come up like on a Saturday or Sunday every weekend, just barbecue, grill, have a couple of drinks, we ride. It's a really nice experience. So we have a lot of folks that come through there too. Lisa Ray McCoy, Keith Washington showed up. I think Dwayne and Raphael from 2020. A lot of folks come through there and like just kind of all one. I'm telling you, all like, especially Black and Brown Hollywood. Every time you ride a horse, you've got to go through there. Cedric Entertainer, everyone has to go through the line.
Right.
So yeah, shout out to them.
Right. So tell me about these political aspirations. You mentioned that a few times. So, I know it's a touchy subject, but.
I never really opened up about it yet, but I will say this. I did have the opportunity to connect with Phil Harper, and he connected me to his EVP.
Shout out Phil Harper.
Absolutely. He introduced me to his EVP, she has an office here, Angie. And we went over kind of like what my landscape was in my background. Mm-hmm. So I see this as, and this also is another reason why I took Pineapple as well. I just think it's more of a responsibility too, overall. Mm-hmm. It was the company, of course, it was core competencies, but overall, kids, and I think Black and Brown in general need to see more people like that look like us that are in prominent leadership positions. And I said this yesterday to another interview. It's incumbent upon us. Like I see this as a way to where I feel that I can bring a lot of positive light to both sides, Black and Brown. I'm like Obama clean, comes on my record. I never even had detention in high school, nothing like that. So I never even had a really bad breakup, honestly. I was married for 12 years, shout out to you. We're like brothers and sisters to this day. So it's like how you treat people. You know, I've always been taught that. Always be honest. And again, being the Marine Corps veteran, being serving during 9/11, pre and post, it was something to where I'm like, yeah, when was the last time we had a sitting president that actually served in the military, first of all?
Right.
And not only that, participated in the campaign. And I think the last one we had was, I think, George Sr., Air Force. I think he had a couple of missions. He dropped a couple of things and went back. Mm-hmm. Other than that, you got to really go far back. And it's like, as a Marine myself, I would feel more comfortable with a president that has seen something too or wore some boots.
Yeah.
That's sending you into harm's way. You know, it's a little more perspective. Not only that, there's never been a president more educated in terms of, I have six degrees in total. Mm-hmm. And I've worked in every single sector you can really imagine. Mm-hmm. So I get along. I can sit next to anybody and we're instantly like, boom, I can connect.
Yeah.
Depending on whatever. So you know, those things, being Black and Brown, single mom, she's like, you're hitting all these check marks.
Right.
You know, even for the folks that maybe middle America, maybe not like this skin color so much, but diehard Marine Corps fans. And I've been told this to my face, hey, I'm not really like, but you're okay. I'm like,
oh,
they thought that was
thanks.
They thought that was PC, but or I get like, hey, there's one of the good ones.
He's one of the good ones.
What does that mean, Bob? What does that mean, Bob? I think, I'm just turned 41, so
congrats.
I think like I do, and I actually give a shit. So right. I actually care. My biggest thing is I love people. I just don't like. Because I'm an introvert, but I would bust my ass for anybody, and anyone that knows me will always say this too, and that's one of the greatest things. I can feel better about going to sleep knowing that there is not somebody that's going to come out of work and be like, oh, Sean, blah, blah, blah. I feel really good about that. So yeah, man, I want to do great things. I think I have a huge upside, and somebody's got to do something. This is one of the things that I always, and people are like, oh, politics. Why don't you like politics? Or why don't you like the police? I'm not about defunding them. I'm about becoming them. You know, if you want to change something, you've got to get inside. So, the best way to rob a bank is not walking through the front door with a gun. It's like working your way up to manager and you rob them blind.
Right.
So I would say, don't defund the police, because if you call 911, the line is busy. You're like, okay. but it's like, become the police. Start having programs so where our youth can actually become police officers, better police officers, especially ones that know about us. This is why I used to love about like New York and everything. Like, you had the beat cops. Mm-hmm. You had the cops in the neighborhood that were from the neighborhood.
Right.
They know how to talk to you. Exactly. You know, they don't feel like, oh, I'm threatened. Let me, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. No, he just chilling.
You see them as your own.
Exactly, exactly. So it's one of those things. And I think the same about politics. People talk a lot, but don't do anything. It's easy to shout and like, this is, I don't like this. And think that they know what's going on. Why don't you start taking actions and becoming like an assembly man or an omnibus man and try to become a congressman or a senator so we can change the system. That's the only way it's going to change.
Right.
Otherwise, we're just going to be complaining about it forever.
Right.
Right? Well, nothing's done. So that's why I feel like, you know what? Yeah, why not? Why not get in the ring? It would be tough. You know, Barack broke down the color barrier. And then we have some folks that probably shouldn't have been in office. Anyways, and it's like, give me a shot. I give me a crack at it.
Right.
You know, I got a good track record here. I think I can do some things. So,
oh, Cradle 2024. I see the campaign. Barbara, get on it, baby.
Yeah.
I like
you gotta take care of Puerto Rico too. That's the first order of business.
Yeah.
I probably won't even get me elected, but I gotta keep it real.
Right. That's a fact. So you mentioned you're a real estate. You still practice real estate?
I do, man. I just renewed my license yesterday.
Congratulations, man. I'm with Keller Williams Calabasas.
Oh, okay. I'm over in Florida, Central 21.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. You licensed here as well? Oh, no? Oh, okay.
No, now I don't do any of those types of things that I did before. They're kind of like a little bit of autopilot. So I have some agents that are under me that, you know, I just take a referral and then I just take care of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Same thing with my fitness business trainers, still doing it under my brand. And it's things like that, but no, 1,000% pineapple. That's it. Eat, breathe, sleep, that's it.
And that's the only way it's gonna
that's the only way it is. I think that my employees appreciate that. I think my executive team appreciates that. I think our shareholders appreciate that and our investors as well. Mm-hmm. You want somebody that, okay, here's a funny thing I'm gonna tell you.
Please.
We got time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's hang on your time.
All right. So, this is funny. So, we're talking about presidency and for myself, I am typically alone by choice.
Okay.
Right? And that's because I think it's warranted. I'm an office rat. So, you know, I'll take some meetings, actually East Coast meetings in the morning at home, and then I'll come in the office and maybe around 10:30. Mm-hmm. And I'll stay till about 6, 7, right? If I had somebody, you're like, hey, you know, you got dogs that go out or dinner reservations, whatever. I don't have to worry about those things and not feel bad either that I can't spend time with that person or that I'm taking time away from that person or my kids or something.
Like right.
That. So without having any of that stuff, I can literally just focus on everyone leaves the office around 4 o'clock and I got about the 3 hours I'm just in it.
Right.
You know, I get a lot of work done and I come home. And that's almost time for bed because I'm up at 5 to go to the gym. So it's like, those are my cycles. So I wouldn't have to work. You know, that I'm on 4 planes. Who's going to put up with that? You know, I flew like 160,000 miles last year. And nobody's going to put up with that. So,
right, exactly.
Are you going to Miami or Puerto Rico again? Like, it's business. But but my point is this. I see the presidency as the same. I joked about this. I told Barbara too. I was like, I'm going to be the first president on Tinder.
Oh my God.
And no profile, nothing, because you don't have to. Like, just one picture, like, you know who I am. You know? Yeah, and that's
it. You know the resume.
And that's it. Just going to be an Oval Office, like, you know who I am. Because here's the thing. And then, again, I just got to keep it real. Like, for me, being the CEO, this is my comparison. Being a CEO of any publicly traded organization is honestly being like a low budget president of the United States. And here's what I mean by that. So I'm in charge. However, there's a board that brought me in or that can kick me out, right? That's Congress for the president. Republican traded, so my shareholders are the American people, right? Mm-hmm. My executive team is my cabinet, right? These are the folks who I consult with and make decisions based off of what they're talking about. I know that there's not many hours a day to do all this like this. Being the freaking president, though, it's even more reason. to stay single. Now, I know this is like, Americans want the entire picture. They want the total package, and they want you to have a family, and they want the dog. I'm like, wouldn't you guys feel better if I was just on the job, like, all the time?
Focused.
Yeah. I mean, come on, like, best case 8 years, I could spare that. We'll just find something later, right? Mm-hmm. But I think for at least for 4 years, I just want to go hard. Maybe I can second term, maybe find someone. But those first 4 years, they may only be one time. So let me dig in for these 4 years. I've been here 4 years already. So I haven't missed much.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I think it's I would feel better if, like, this dude is on the job, like, not just kicking around and, you know, going to Camp David with the family. Again, people was like, oh, that's selfish. No, it's not selfish because I don't have a family yet. Right. So if I did have a family and it was ignoring them, that would be selfish. I'm actually trying to be considerate of myself and those potential people that I would have to run away and do all this and da, 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 and worry about me, whatever. So it's just a lot easier unless me do my job.
Right.
So that's why, you know, I joke, I'm only present on Tinder, but probably.
Right.
If it works out.
Oh, man. How does that work, actually? Like, you just got to fill out an application. You got to get people to vote for you. You got to start small as, like, a senator and kind of work your way up.
It's a lot of many different routes you can take. It's really dependent upon the strategy and where you want to enter politics from.
Mm.
So a lot of folks will go to a weak or move to a weak district.
Mm-hmm.
So they can, like, establish residency and then potentially win that district, and that's how you can get in.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, like, more or less, you know, congressman and women. But I asked this question to Hill Harper's EDP, and I say, well, what should I do now? Should I, you know, have all this stuff? You can check all the boxes, Sean, like, more than honestly any other candidate that's sat in the White House. Mm-hmm. You have to write a book. And I was like, okay, cool. Should I go get another master's so I get an MPAA, like, political, you know? She's like, no, you're done with school. I guess that's that. You get on a book tour, then people just got to know who you are.
Right.
And that's basically it. So in terms of that, I think I want to crawl before I walk. There's a lot more here to do at Pineapple. So I'm not even really, I'm just trying to get the information that I would need and see the best route. But I don't think I'll be going hard on this until maybe a few more years, you know. And again, just turns 41, so there's some time.
Yeah, definitely some time.
But it's something where, either way, aside from politics, I gotta write.
Right.
And that will be called Cradle to the Grave.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. And it goes in line with, I mean, spelled my way, C-R-E-D-L-E.
Mm-hmm.
It goes in line with basically how I've been all my life. You know, like I said, mom, you were just gone.
Right.
Didn't cry when I was born. It's like, you know, my uncle used to be like, look at him. Looks like he knows what we're talking about. Like, he's been here before.
Right.
And I've gotten told this. You know, it's like an older woman in Russia and this other guy in the mountains of Peru. Like, you're on your seventh life. Both of them, like, don't even know each other. I'm like, wow, that's crazy. Like, you know, but it's like I believe in, like, certain, I don't know about that, but I believe in stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely certain things that if you do what the universe puts in front of you, it'll get out of your way.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to teach my students this stuff too. You know, it's like, if you're raising a family, both your parents are doctors. Mm-hmm. They want you to be a doctor, but you want to be a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
But you go to med school anyway.
Right.
You're going to be a mediocre doctor. That's not the doctor I want.
Right.
That person should go, and it's going to be harder for them
mm-hmm.
to complete medical school because their heart's not in it.
Right.
They don't really care that much. They're just trying to please their parents.
Exactly.
So they'll get mediocre grades because, you know, it's nothing that I'm crazy interested in. It's a chore for me to actually learn this stuff.
Exactly.
So as an attorney, they probably would excel. And that's the attorneys you want. So it's like you have to just... I always tell my students that people contradict themselves all the time, sometimes even in the same sentence. You mm-hmm. ever say, like, oh, I want to do this, but I don't think I should. That right there is like, you don't trust yourself. And it's like, you want to do something, that's immediate, that's a gut. You know whether or not the consequences of what you're going to do,
right.
You know, good or bad, but you know that's what you want. That comes into play, like, but... I don't think I should, or I don't want to do this, but I think I should. The thinking part gets you in trouble because that has too many variables. Mm-hmm. It could be how I grew up, my religion, my parents, whatever the case may be. That has too many factors and societal norms. Like if people would think different of me if I do this, that's all crap. Mm-hmm. Unless you're a psychopath, go with your gut.
Right, right, right.
Always go with your gut because that is the raw feeling of you. Mm-hmm. And it the reason why I was able to do so much in a little bit of time is because I didn't think so much. When you're like, oh, I think I want to do this. Let me go back to school next year. Mm-hmm. Nah, I never stopped. I never stopped. I think it was like 15 years. I was like, never had a break in college to achieve those degrees.
Right.
Never summers off, nothing. I just made it a part of this is what I do too.
Right.
You know? Right. So I would literally teach at two schools and still go to school at night myself.
My God.
You know, and so, and that, again, that saves a lot of time. But if I want it, I just go. Mm-hmm. If I don't feel it, I don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Everybody has it. Right. Everybody has this stuff. So I think it's like, you know, one of those things. So I think the next step for me is, again, all about Pineapple. We have so much more to do with our new store opening, our flagship at Hollywood and Vine. Ridiculous location. I mean, it's... I still wake up like, we really got it. And the beauty of this thing is not only did we restore an historic building.
Mm-hmm.
So when celebs come in, they're like, man, this used to be a club back in the day. Like, yeah, the champagne room was right over there. Like,
I mean, it's a great location, right next to Capitol Records.
Right next to Capitol. You can't miss it. Even if you give somebody like, what's the address? I'm like, Hollywood and Vine. Like, but it's on the corner. Like, yeah, right on the corner. Like, mm-hmm. Not down the street. No, it's right there. Right across from the W, right across from the highest grossing Starbucks in California. Again, you got right in the Walk of Fame. So right next to Chinese Deer down the street. So we're actually, and this space hasn't been used in over like 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
So we were like, you know, it took a long time actually, more than projected to open this project, mainly because of, you got to do a historical building. It's not just a commercial property. And also digging up problems, you know, like it hasn't been used in so long.
Right.
I'm digging up dinosaur bones. We found Jimmy Hoffa, like all kind of stuff, man. So, but it's such an iconic location to where, and it's a different experience. There's no experience like this on the planet in terms of cannabis retail. And it's the reason why is because I didn't want to make this location so transactional where you come in, okay, I want that, boom, boom. And it's usually the products are like behind the glass and you just got to go look at the video and like, okay, how much is it? Oh, it changed again. Yeah. All right. And it's like, okay, here's that, and you get out.
Mm-hmm.
This is, all products are on display. We have walking bartenders, not behind the counter. We have walking bartenders that take you like a concierge, you know, like, what are you into? Blah, 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 blah. Here's this. And it's also a tourist destination, you know, in terms of Hollywood and Vine and Walk of Fame. So I don't want people necessarily loitering, but I don't want them just coming in and out. I want them to actually make this a stop on their tour, you know, of Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we try to bring there. And I want to make that more of a, you know, experience.
Exactly.
Not just a transactional experience. So
that's amazing, man. Well, I mean, for
we opened Palm Springs too.
By what? The way.
Yeah, nobody. Yeah, that's right. I was a sleeper. We actually opened that a week before Hollywood and Vine.
Okay.
So we did open two in a week. Like, who does that, right? So,
that's amazing, man.
So that launch party is going to coincide with Coachella.
How many other locations are you thinking about opening up?
We're actually in contracts. The other thing is with Hollywood and Vine and also three more that we're going to potentially have online by the end of the year are all through social equity applicants.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really trying to do what this program was intended to do, but has failed so many, not just in this state, but across the country. And to be quite honest, I don't even think it was intended for us, if I'm being real, because of the criteria. You know, okay, yeah, you meet these certain thresholds, income thresholds, and you get a license. Okay, well, I have this offense. I qualify for social equity. Then when I get granted social equity, I have to be under a certain income level and the licenses cost more than that anyway. So if a social equity applicant says, okay, yeah, I have this money to put up, then it's going to be like, the state will be like, well, where'd you get that money from?
Right.
So it's almost like, here you are, but it's still going to be hard for you to reach. That's why we created an incubator with Pineapple where we take care of all that stuff. We take care of your application, doing that application, because some people, if you do this wrong, you'll be put in the end of the line.
Right.
So we basically want to meet potential social equity applicants. I want to tell them about us. Obviously, they feel a lot more comfortable. We have a lot of folks coming to Pineapple to facilitate their social equity license because it's just trust.
Exactly.
Right? And a lot of these other companies, I'm not going to name any names, but predominantly ones that are not this, they do take advantage of those folks. They just buy you out when it's applicable to buy you out, and then that's it. No, this is, I'm trying to create generational wealth for all of us. And this is a way to do it. You come into this, you come in here, you have to play a role. You just can't have a passive income. So I'm also teaching these folks general business acumen. Literally, like, they were my students. I'm teaching leadership and entrepreneurship, because a lot of us don't have educational background. So I want them to have that business acumen, at least to talk intelligently about their projects. I want them to be involved in their project, in their individual Pineapple Express dispensary. That will be catered to their own type of flair, their own neighborhood. They know this better than I do. You know, I never grew up in California, so I don't really know the culture of every single neighborhood.
Right.
But if we have we have one guy who we're doing his next to SoFi Stadium, and I think it's like around the Inglewood area. He grew up there. I'm like, hey, listen, all your community events, and I'm your facilitator. Tell me what you need, because you know your community more than I do.
Right.
So you really want to have this ownership, and they feel good, not just about collecting the check, but no, you got to go to work too. You got to take the same training that all the bartenders take, and this, and you got to sit with me and get some real schooling.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I want to do a lot more for that. And also, not just California, but we're going to be doing this across the country.
You speak Spanish?
Not enough.
Pero no, mija, tú no le estás enseñando a hablar español. ¿Qué la vaina? ¿Qué está pasando?
Don't ask her that, because I know it better than... It's a confidence thing.
I can tell the same way.
I can speak it. It's just a confidence thing. And it's like I'm fluent. Once I get to Puerto Rico, or if I get to Mexico or something, like, my brain is like, okay, you got to do this. Boom. But once it says, welcome back to the United States, it's like, my brain's like, all right, I'm off.
I'm off the clock. you gotta learn Spanish, man, especially in California, man. You know, you want the black and brown, you know what I'm saying?
Man,
you gotta speak that language.
Trust me, bro. I live in Miami now, almost 13 years.
Yeah, that's good. I used to live in Tampa for 12 years.
I used to work in Tampa too. And then about six now in Puerto Rico. So, and none of my family in PR speaks English.
Oh wow.
No, that's what I'm saying. When I go there, I'm fine. It's just if they text me, I'm like, translate.
Google Translate.
It's just easier, right? It's just easier. There's
it's
so
precise.
Much, there's so much stuff going on in my head. Stop laughing at me, Barbara. You know what I'm saying?
I do the same thing too. And I actually speak it. I just can't write it.
Oh, I'm better at that. Because I did formal schooling for that, but it was like Latin Spanish. I mean, European Spanish.
Got it.
Which I'll probably be there next week, Barcelona, for the International Cannabis Conference, ICBC. So that's going to be happening next week.
Sweet, sweet. Well, I mean, any advice for any up and coming cannabis entrepreneurs, you know, that want to get into space, you know, that want to be fully vertical and all that stuff, you know, give them the advice now. But
I would say connect with people like me across the country. You know, wherever you are, try to connect with folks. You know, obviously, we got to look out for each other. No one else is really going to. And I don't want to say that to disparage or separate any other races. It's definitely like, it's not about that. But this is an industry where we don't have any leadership, and we've been the most persecuted and locked up for this. So this is an industry that does belong to black and brown. I mean, a lot of ethnicities have their industries, you know, and we just don't. And we help build this country. So, you know, we have a lot of Asians and that have the C-stores and garment industry. And we have our Jewish folks doing show business, and banking, and Italians with construction and waste management. That's great. I love all you guys. We got nothing. You know, we don't. We really, really don't have anything that we can actually say this is ours. And quite frankly, it's more apropos because, again, we are the most persecuted and locked up for this in history. And it's just the right thing. So I would say, you know, get with folks that have positions such as myself in these spaces, and also progressive other folks. I will say that, you know, this is not a, it's not a black and brown thing. You know, I don't think at the end of the day, I love everybody. I was the only person who liked me in high school. So, you know, I'm cool with every single person on the planet. I love everybody. But there's just some things that, you know, should be done the right way. So get with those folks. If you do think of, we have folks that are reaching out to me from across the country that want a franchise, we can also help you there too. So I'll always take those types of meetings when it comes to helping others, whether it's for Pineapple or whether it's for anything else. You know, it's just, I just feel we're all in this stuff together, man.
We are.
Don't matter the color, whatever. Let's just come together, especially what's going on right now in the world. This is just bananas. I can't believe this is a time where we live and people are doing some very heinous activities that are reminding us of the Second World War, honestly. So we don't want to do that, man. And again, aside from all this, we can sit up here, laugh and joke, but for real, Ukraine, like, I hear you. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to do whatever I can as well to help. It has nothing to do with cannabis or nothing. It's just one thing I will always say is that you can strip away all of our titles, publicist, like an entrepreneur, me, whatever I am. Keep going down the line, Latino, keep going out. And when you finally get to like man and woman, you strip that down and it's just the human race, man. That's the only common denominator that we have. Is being a freaking human being.
Right.
And isn't it great when you connect with everyone and everyone, it's just a better world, man. So it sucks, you know, but I think about that stuff all the time. And I'm not kidding, man. My boots is ready. So.
I hear you,
my
man.
My boots is ready.
Oh, man. Well, thank you for the kind words, man. And, you know, we wish you much success in all your endeavors, man. If I can support in any way that I can, please let me know. You know what I'm saying?
Big fan of the work. Gonna have to get you some glasses, man. Freebay Revolve, Jamie Foxx's brand. Shout out to
Oh, Freebay. Really? Oh, that's it right there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
These are, man. These are very cost effective. Some crazy. This is a blue light joints. Only like, I think the highest pair is like $40.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Because Jamie is like, I don't have respect for glasses.
Right.
I just don't. Like, I'll buy a new pair and like drop them somewhere or whatever. So, I was always like a guest outlet type of, you know, $35, that's about it. You know what I mean? But when these came out, I was like, I don't want to spend these. And he's like, the reason why he came up with this idea, because he was on his way to a award show or something like that, and he forgot his sunglasses. So he stopped in this gas station and grabbed these. So he's like, you look pretty cool. And they were only like, you know, $15.
Yeah.
And he was like, man, you know, here's an idea. Because he's the same way. He doesn't have a lot of respect for sunglasses or whatever. So. So that's how we formed the company, but it's an amazing company. They definitely donated a lot to help out with Pineapple too. So I appreciate Privé. Privé Revolve is private stock in French for you guys.
Awesome. No, that's amazing. I'm actually an advisor for this brand as well, New Vintage. So.
Oh, my bad.
Okay. No. Listen.
I don't know brands, but I'm gonna tell you, I thought it was like some crazy high brand or whatever.
No, it's called New Vintage, but
I didn't even know.
I just do advisory for them. But now, man, I'd love to, I'll support those as well, man, because I like those. I actually seen Jamie rocking them. He was, he did some, was it, it was a show on the Discovery about the cars with wires only. The new show that he just put out?
Yes.
About Will Smith.
Yes,
wearing it on the episode. And I was like, damn, I like those. Like, those are me right there. I like the aviator lenses with the.
They got so many different. I'm about to get there's a drop tomorrow too, like a totally new line. So I'm like, I can't wait to see those. But yeah, man, I gotta support that. And
absolutely.
And I'm not a brands guy. Like she knows, I'm not a. You know, people complimenting on this is Men's Warehouse off the rack.
Right.
Off the rack. So hey, I'm trying to be the next spokesperson for Men's Warehouse. That needs to happen too. You know, they always got the guy that looks like usually the spokesperson for those guys is usually the guy that looks like the Dos Equis guy, you know, the interesting man in the world, whatever. Usually an older Caucasian male, salt and pepper hair and stuff like that. He's always like, you know, you gotta love the way you look. I guarantee it. It's time. It's time, Men's Warehouse. Let me be up in there, man. I will be a good spokesperson for Men's Warehouse because again, this is my anyone that knows me knows I rock. For years.
I'm like, Warehouse.
Yeah, that's it. You just walk in and it just got me. They get me.
You know? Well, you better go negotiate that deal. If I can help you broker it, let me know.
She's on it. Lisa's on it over there.
Oh, yeah, that's Bob, man. No
step on
my toes.
Texting him right now.
Oh man, well that's what's up. I want to thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate
you for coming. It's a blessing, man. I know it's long overdue, but we finally made it happen.
Absolutely.
Man. Thank you for coming on. I hope you guys took some notes, man. All you cannabis entrepreneurs out there. This has been another episode of Sneakers for Billionaires, the podcast. I am your host, Johnny Vegas. Where can the people follow you, Mr. Cradle?
CEO of Cannabis on Instagram. It's pretty easy right there. And also Pineapple Express Hollywood, Pineapple Express Delivers.
There it is, man. Stay tuned for more episodes to come. Thank you for watching. Make sure you follow and tap in with this man. He is out there to support and help the community, man.
Watch this guy, too.
You heard it here first. Peace.
I wanna be a billionaire, I ain't getting no sleep, till I see a milli every week. I wanna be a billionaire, I ain't getting no sleep, till I see a billy every week. I wanna be a billionaire, billionaire, I wanna be a billionaire, billionaire, I wanna be a billionaire, I ain't getting no sleep, till I see a billy every week.